the announcement this summer that Alaska will pursue a state-owned natural gas pipeline is a U-turn after more than a decade of negotiations with the big North Slope oil companies. But one person has been advocating this approach all along, Governor Bill Walker. This week, Alaska's Energy Desk is exploring the state's 40-year quest for a natural gas pipeline in part two of our series, Pipeline Promises. Rachel Waldholz looks at Walker's lifelong mission to get a gas line built.
About a year ago, Governor Bill Walker stood before reporters. He was addressing his most recent dust-up with the state's oil companies. And in a moment of exasperation, he said, "Look, guys.
It has to do with controlling our destiny. And I stand firm on that principle."
This is the heart of the Bill Walker philosophy. This gas line, this piece of pipe, as he calls it, is central to Alaska's destiny, and it is never going to get built unless the state takes charge. He argues we can't leave it to the oil companies. Now, Alaska has a chance to test that theory. And for the man in the driver's seat, the seeds of this philosophy were planted almost 50 years ago with the state's other pipeline, the oil pipeline.
I mean, I graduated from high school in 69 in Valdez, and I could not afford to go to college. I mean, there's no way I could afford to go to college.
What saved him, he says, was early work on the Trans-Alaska pipeline. He still remembers getting his dispatch, the piece of paper that called him up for a job on the project.
I've gotten a number of degrees in my life. I can't tell you a single name of the person who gave me, but I can tell you the name of the person who gave me that dispatch. His name was Jim Robinson. He was in the Johnson Trailer Court in Valdez, and I thought, this is my ticket for my future.
Walker says what the last pipeline meant to him, the next line would mean for a whole new generation. Jobs, revenue for the state, cheap energy that could launch whole new industries, and new incentive for companies to explore the North Slope. His first encounter with the gas line came a few years after that moment in the Valdez Trailer Court. Walker was in his mid-20s. He'd just met his wife and was serving on the Valdez City Council.
The mayor said, who wants to work on the gas line? And so I said, well, I'll work on the gas line. I worked on the oil line, so I'm happy to work on the gas line.
That version of the project fizzled, like so many after it. But Walker stayed involved in oil and gas, and often found himself at odds with the state's dominant industry. In the late 90s, the gas line came back into his life. He was called to a meeting of mayors from the North Slope, Fairbanks, and Valdez.
They had formed a group called Gas Line Now. I said, what can we do to add a few more, you know, percentage of return to the gas line so the producers would build a gas line?
The idea was to jumpstart a project by using the local government's tax-free status to try to tempt the oil companies to the table. Walker ended up working with the Alaska Gas Line Port Authority for more than a decade, trying to advance what he called an all-Alaska gas line.
Bill wasn't doing academic papers. Bill was doing the real deal. He's meeting the Fortune 500 companies, and it was just very enticing.
Craig Richards went to work for Walker as a 27-year-old lawyer in the early 2000s. He went on to become Walker's law partner, confidant, and ultimately his first attorney general. Richards says the Port Authority years taught Walker several things. There were moments when Walker thought he'd pulled it off. He brought in big outside companies who were interested in making a project happen. They'd reach out to the North Slope producers who controlled the gas, but
phone never rang. Dead silence, because the producers weren't interested in that stage of making a pipeline happen. They were interested in accomplishing other goals.
Goals like using gas line negotiations with the state to lock in their oil and gas taxes, Richard says. Critics say the Port Authority never put together enough of a project to merit a real response. But Richard says, for him and Walker, the lessons were clear. The oil companies have their own priorities and their own timeline. If the state wants a gas line, it can't wait for the companies to lead the way.
One, he decided that he needed to be governor if he was going to, you know, really see the gas line go to the next phase, and that was the beginning of his political ambitions. And two, he realized that it's got to be the state of Alaska that does this.
In 2010, Walker ran against then-Governor Sean Parnell in the Republican primary, with the gas line as his main issue.
Folks ask me if I'm a one-issue candidate. Now, I'll admit, and it's certainly no secret, I am committed to Alaskans building the all-Alaska gas line.
Walker lost in 2010, but he ran again in 2014. By then, Parnell and Republican lawmakers were advancing a new plan, a partnership with ExxonMobil, BP, and ConocoPhillips. Bill Walker was not a fan. Here's what he told KTVA reporter Rhonda McBride at the time.
The fatal flaw of what he's doing is that, again, he has put the control of Alaska's future in the hands of companies that have competing projects around the world.
Then, the unexpected. Walker won the election. Former Anchorage Daily News reporter Bill White has researched the history of the gas line, and I asked him if Walker's single-minded pursuit of a state-owned project is his white whale, his Moby Dick.
It's his big obsession, for sure. Remains to be seen whether it's his white whale.
Why? Because?
Well, maybe he's right. I wouldn't bet on it, but maybe he's right.
And now Walker has a chance to prove it. When he took office, oil and gas prices were plunging. Suddenly, Alaska faced a massive revenue shortfall, and Walker was more convinced than ever that a gas line is the solution. Low prices also changed the dynamics of the project he had inherited from Parnell, offering him an unexpected opening. Early this year, the state's three oil company partners sat down with Walker's team.
It was a day I'll never forget.
February 9th, 2016. According to both Walker and ExxonMobil, the companies told him that lousy market conditions and slow negotiations meant they probably couldn't move the project ahead as planned. They proposed either slowing down or letting the state take over. And for Walker, this was his moment.
I thought, my goodness, how long have we waited for this opportunity?
For many Alaskans, news that the big three oil companies are stepping back from the project is a sign that the state's gas line dream has hit another wall. But Walker doesn't see it that way.
We have proved over the last 40 years what won't work. This is the first time we've said, let's try it one time, like other sovereign do around the world.
In his words, it's not a wall, it's a starting gate. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rachel Waldholz in Anchorage.
In part three of the series tomorrow, we'll profile Keith Meyer, the man in charge of leading the state down this new path. For more on our series, Pipeline Promises, connect with Alaska's Energy Desk on Facebook.